We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
I got a doozy coming here. No, I got a Casey Johnson doozy. Go ahead.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
We get the calls once in a while, Casey, because you know our callers are all first rate.
Especially if they're named Bob, right?
How far you think the ball's going to go?
Far corner, three ball by Temple. Got it. Temple has hit two. Big time. Fourth quarter, three balls. The back tap controlled by the Bulls. Down the floor. Leaking out. Patrick Williams on Pritchard with right-handed left. And the Bulls are off and running, leading by six.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Bam!
Bulls win indeed. It's amazing what happens when you get a stop every once in a while. And you don't turn the ball over. And you make your free throws. It's an easy game sometime. And here to talk about that game that we love, that don't lie, is KC Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago. He is on Twitter at KCJ Hoop. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, at apnissan.com. What's happening, KC? How are you?
I am doing well. That was quite the opening. Anytime you can get Jim Boylan, Terry Bors, and an apoplectic Chuck Swirsky all in one soundbite, that's you're doing something right.
that's our sound man, Jordan Malley, getting it done. And we were enjoying listening to a couple minutes of Billy Donovan in a segment in our first hour. Just him being so forthright and so thorough in talking about how the team has had to come together after the trade and what it's done. And I got to tell you, the more I hear so him going through the highs and lows of this season, what a treat it's got to be able to actually talk basketball with him multiple times a day.
Yeah, I think we've kind of alluded about his to his transparency before and just how great that is. I mean, obviously, you're still one layer removed with the Zoom factor that we're doing right now via the Twitch thing, but you know, it'd be even better in person. But yes, you know, two things that stand out to me, Dan, about that are early in the season, if you guys remember, he had that time where he submitted the wrong starting lineup. And we, you know, said, like, what the heck happened there? And he just, like, owned it. He's like, yeah, that was on me. I just, you know, Bob Rosenberg came into my office and said, same starters. And I just was doing something else and said, yeah, sure. And you know, had the wrong starting lineup. And then there was another time, I want to say it was the Portland game where he ran out of timeouts or didn't call a timeout to advance the ball, and we questioned about it. And, you know, he looked inward and said that was on me. You can ask him those questions and have him own things and, you know, and talk basketball and just, you know, the depth to which he'll explain minutiae and decision-making, et cetera, is great for what we do for sure.
And I know that we joke and we put the Jim Boylan quotes in here and there, but I think that that contrast even now in the season is still not lost on this team, and the candor and what we've seen out of Donovan and how he manages them. Do you think that that is still very much appreciated by this team, even though the novelty and the contrast might have worn off just a little bit with time?
Yeah, and the other factor to that, Layla, is it's a whole new team. I mean, a lot of these guys now, since the trade deadline, didn't play for Jim Boylan. Obviously, they changed the team so significantly on that trade deadline day, so they don't really have that point of reference. But, you know, for the people that are holdovers, you know, they've alluded to just how direct and how, and, you know, some of the holdovers did have good relationships with Jim Boylan, it should be noted as well. But, you know, some of them have noted the directness with which Billy addresses them. He's kind of the same guy every day. I knew him a little bit from his time in Oklahoma City, enough to say hello. I didn't know him well. And again, we haven't quite gotten to the level of, you know, personal interaction or personal relationships that you might if you were in person every day. But he just seems to me, from the Zoom dealings, just kind of steady and, you know, the same demeanor every day, not too high, not too low. And he's just very direct. He's direct with us. He's direct with players, and has talked about holding them to that standard all season of championship habits. I mean, that's the goal here. I mean, it's not the 10th seed. It's not the 6th seed. It's championship habits. And, you know, they obviously have a long way to go, but they feel that they took a step with that Vucevic acquisition.
How is Zach LaVine?
You know, all you can do is go by people who have talked to him. I have not talked to Zach directly. It sounds like he's, you know, Billy said last night that he's bored because he's, you know, quarantining at home. But, you know, it sounds like he's in pretty good spirits. And I don't want to speak for his health situation because I have not talked to him directly. Some people that I have talked to him early in the situation made it seem like, you know, he was not presenting horribly. But again, I don't know where that's gone. So, you know, different people have different reactions to the situation. Satoransky and Hutchinson detailed them personally. And I'm assuming Zach will be the same way. He's the kind of guy that I think will address that. Although it should be noted, he has not acknowledged anything publicly. So we'll see how he approaches that when he comes back. My stance on COVID, right or wrong, is that I think that's like a personal thing that should be revealed by the player or the team if they want to. So that's kind of, but you know, the people that have talked to him say he's in good spirits and just itching to get back.
One of the pieces of candor that I think we can discuss and touch on still is how the Bulls have had to change their style of play. And as you pointed out recently, a couple of times, whether it was with acquiring Vooch or now, or just having to deal with that lack of practice time, how have you seen them adjust in that style? We talked about playing through the post earlier, maybe even just a couple weeks ago, but now they're trying to reinvent again.
Yeah, I mean, because now they're starting a completely different lineup that's more defensive base, and they're guarding people, and they're really slowing down the game and still playing through Vucevic almost exclusively offensively. You know, Thad comes in now with that second unit, but even his role in that pocket passing situation is mitigated somewhat by the absence of LaVine, who was obviously in those pick and roll situations so much with Thad. So Thad, to me, is now playing a little bit more in the post than he was before, even in that secondary bench role than the pocket as he was previously. So offensively, it's just a completely different style. And then defensively, they're, you know, it's pretty remarkable that they've held two straight opponents under 100 points. And part of that is just because they're playing slower. They're not turning the ball over as much. There's not as many live ball turnovers. They also only had 15 fouls yesterday, which is remarkable for a team that's had trouble with that department all season long. So, you know, they actually are having a practice today, which is a pretty rare occurrence. I didn't get this confirmed. We'll talk to them this afternoon. I assume it's in Cleveland because it's not till 2:30 Eastern. So I'm assuming they traveled, tested, and then practice. And that's the thing about these off days that people don't realize. I mean, usually in an NBA schedule, you just hop on a plane, fly to the next city, wake up, you practice. You've got to go through the testing protocol, traveling, and that's why so many off days do not feature practices in this era and season of COVID. So, you know, I know that Billy will be excited to be talking to us after a practice today.
So how do they make any improvements stick for when Zach LaVine comes back? Because it's a big absence, and even if they are able to play over it, to overcome it, once he returns – he hasn't been a part of it. He hasn't been a particularly attentive defensive player in the past. How do they make sure that that what they're doing now matters and continues to stick after they reincorporate Zach LaVine?
Yeah, I mean, when you say what they're doing now, and it's a great question, Dan, but when you say what they're doing now, I mean, they were in a rough stretch. You know, they're 2-1 without Zach. So, you know, let's hold off and see if this sticks even before Zach comes back, because Zach's going to be out right for a little bit longer here. So definitely a good win last night for sure. But to your point, I do agree that I thought Zach actually started the year defensively, much more attentive, much more advanced in, at that end. And I think there was a little bit of slippage a little bit after the All-Star break before they acquired Vucevic on his end. So he's got to get on board with getting re-engaged at that end. And, you know, he and Vucevic have to continue to show chemistry together offensively. I do think it was a little bit of an adjustment for Zach to be playing a different style. And you know, we talked about that pick and pop option being such a huge weapon, and that still is definitely a big thing. But there's also going to be situations where they're just throwing it down to Vuce in the post. Now, Zach, standing out of the three-point line, can make that work as well. So it's just going to take time. I know they don't have a lot of it. And I know that this sounds like spin now because they have had trouble since the trade deadline. But, you know, if you go back and listen to our tourists in the trade deadline, it definitely was for this season. I'm not trying to lessen the impact of that. But this trade was for long term as well. I mean, this was for the offseason and signaling to free agents and prospective additions what this franchise is trying to do in building around two All-Stars. So, you know, this may be a kind of a season where you don't see the full impact or full effects of the trade just because it is such a funky season with COVID and guys in and out of the lineup and lack of practice time. So, you know, it is a little disappointing what's happened since the trade deadline, but when Zach gets back, he's got to get reengaged at the defensive end and then to continue to try to find that chemistry with Vucevic. I mean, Vucevic has been amazing. I mean, he's just been – the thing about him, I mean, and I know you guys knew this, and I knew it too, but just watching on a nightly basis, he is such a smart passer. I mean, you always knew his assist numbers were good for a big man, but his recognition of coverages and open floor and open teammates is pretty remarkable when you see it on a nightly basis. And he's such a willing passer. I mean, beyond his elite shooting ability, his passing ability has really, really stood out to me.
And his defense just sucks. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, there's a little bit of Carlos Boozer in some of the defense. He's better, obviously, but some of it's like, come on, get there, move your feet a little bit, do something.
Yeah, I mean, team defense. Well, I talked to some people that knew him pretty well from Orlando, and they said that team defensive principles, and this would be similar to Boozer. He's not awful, and he's also a good defensive rebounder, which was also one of Carlos Boozer's strengths. So those aren't you know, nothing, but yes, with his ability to guard people on the perimeter or slide his feet, there are occasionally some issues.
Casey, I want to focus on something that is on the My Teams app that just got released, and it is about somebody who I can say I had the joy to talk to last year, and that's Luol Deng. Tell me about what he is doing for being the president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation and how he's giving back in the way he is.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Layla. This was kind of fun for me because I knew he was the president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation, which he kind of fell into unexpectedly. He thought he was going to retire and chill. But in February, I was kind of reading, and all of a sudden I realized that he was not only the president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation, but coaching the South Sudan national team at the AfroBasket qualifiers in Tunisia. And so I reached out to Lou and just said, hey, man, I'd love to talk to you about that. And it took him a while to get back stateside and for our schedules to align. But I talked to him for about 45 minutes last week for our Bulls Talk podcast and just, you know, fantastic stuff about what he's doing for his home country's national program and how he's channeling his inner Scott Skiles and Tom Thibodeau as head coach of the South Sudanese national team. And then we also just went down memory lane and stuff. And, you know, I've known Lou for coming up on almost two decades. I first talked to him in 2004. So it was just kind of neat to catch up with him. And really what he's doing, I was fortunate enough to be at the 2012 London Olympics back when I worked for the Chicago Tribune. And he was kind of the unofficial face of that basketball tournament because of his representation of the Great Britain national team, coached by Chris Finch and Nick Nurse, by the way. So small basketball world. Because, you know, obviously that country took him and his family in when they sought political asylum from war-torn Sudan. And, you know, the fact that South Sudan is only a 10-year-old country and he's leading that national team program now is you can just feel the pride. It's palpable when you talk to him about what he's doing for that home country and how he's helping grow the game in that country. So check it out if you have a moment after your guys' show or after all your shows. We'll put it on Grobber again when Grobber's up at midnight. it was really fun to catch up with Lou. So thank you.
He's something of a commercial real estate mogul too, isn't he?
Just a little bit. All I'll say is Google Forbes and Lou Aldang and check his net worth. We did talk a little bit about that off camera, but he started just flipping houses here in Chicago, and he's not just a little something. We're talking multiple seven figures, maybe eight figures. I'd have to check the math on that, but he's kind of the real estate magnate, and that's kind of what he thought he'd be doing, is just kind of chilling and hanging out in his real estate world, and all of a sudden he's got, you know, he's not just doing the South Sudan men's national team. He's got the South Sudan women's national team, the 18 and under national teams. He's in charge of everything basketball in the South Sudan country. So there's a lot on Lou's plate these days. Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Cannot say I am surprised that he was called to serve and that is how he leads. Cannot say I was surprised by that at all.
Yep.
Casey, thank you, man.
All right. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago. And next up, we have some unfinished White Sox business to attend to because we were sort of living through everything yesterday and explaining why people watching us in studio on Twitch were seeing some of the reactions they were seeing as we're turning our heads to watch the TV and then looking at each other and trying to reconcile what was happening. I guess I'm not quite going to understand the way the pitching staff is being handled already in this very young season. We've got some questions about that and what's going on.
The pitching staff are just dudes who happen to pitch.
All of it. We'll get to it next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Two strikes on Madrigal on a day that clearly was not going to be the White Sox day. This is the backhand side for Gonzalez, and that will do it. Off goes the hat. And there goes the split. It's a 1-2-3 inning and a final of 11-4.
It's Bernstein and Rahimi, middays 9 a.m. to noon on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, well, that sucked. That was just too bad. You get kicked in the teeth. You have your ace pitcher out there, and they had him. It looked like they had his plan and or they had his pitches and they were communicating it, and they went up and he just got mollywopped yesterday. And sure, it happens to good pitchers, but it's no fun to watch when it does. So Lucas Giolito owned it, and here we are. The tweet that I saw yesterday that I found ironic was one that said, Tony La Russa took better care of the arms of Yermin Mercedes and Danny Mendick as pitchers than he did Lucas Giolito.
If I have the bury my head in my hands face for us talking about the Bears quarterback, then I think partial hands on forehead over forehead, so not quite surrender cobra, but just frustration cobra might be the move for this type of thing.
For some reason, the elbow position prevalent on that, I think, for when you actually cover your face like this and the sort of this is angry and confused, while this is more sad and resigned.
Yes. Yes, that is it. That's it. And this is really all for Twitch at this point. So what's up, Twitch?
Hey, Twitch.
As you know, we have had issues already with how the bullpen has been managed, how starting pitchers have been managed, what we've seen out of a lack of having somebody warming in the pen. We talked about it yesterday. I am a huge believer in that. The high leverage innings that we see where pitchers throw hard and they're in stressful situations and they're throwing 30 pitches in an inning plus and they can't get out of the inning. That is how you fry arms. That is how injuries happen. We've seen it. Carlos Rodon may be an excellent example of this because of the big innings he used to get into himself. We can talk about it pleasantly now because he just threw the no-hitter and he starts tonight. Shout out Carlos Rodon. We're in for another lovely pitching matchup between those two teams this evening with him and Zach Plesac. With Giolito last night, or yesterday afternoon, or whatever time that was, he throws over 40 pitches in the first inning and goes back out there for the second. And then you mean to tell me that you've decided that your greatest hitting asset right now on this team should be pitching? And I used to love position players pitching. I'm with Craig Calcaterra on this. And you know who scared me straight? One Oswaldo Guillen.
He said,
the last thing you want to do is risk injury with an asset like that. Like, we giggle about Anthony Rizzo and we giggle about your mean Mercedes because of the ought to, right? The idea that they want to do all these things for the team. And that is awesome. But similar to Eloy Jimenez, you have to have some risk management there because the greater good of the team needs to be served. And on what planet do you A, have Liam Hendricks two times in a single day for no good reason for one of them, and then B, not have somebody warming in the pen, C, have Lucas Giolito come out after he threw a 40-plus pitch inning when he is your ace, and then D, have your mean Mercedes? Medic, I don't mind, even though I'm also not okay with it because he's a starter.
At the moment, yeah.
Yes. So, like, what are we doing here?
The risk to the important position players, too. I know we all think about, was it Jose Canseco that hurt his shoulder or elbow, whatever it was, pitching or trying to show off his velocity? The other thing to remember, there's no L screen out there. And how many times a year do we have to see a pitcher get Charlie Browned or have a near miss or have say, ooh, boy, it's a good thing he got his hand up there. And I have to tell you this, that speaking as the parent of a high school pitcher, my heart's in my throat every time watching some of these grown-ass men and, you know, who 6'4" and 6'3" with aluminum bats out there and knowing the danger of that projectile, especially a pitcher who pitches to contact. And that's what I think about. I think about your mean Mercedes taking one off the noggin or having a Wilbur Wood where he gets his kneecap smashed by it. That's a dangerous job. And it's not just an arm injury. It's not just, hey, don't overthrow. Is that there's a projectile coming back at you, and you are not trained, you are not prepared to have the kind of pitcher's reaction time that they actually at times will practice. Even though, you know, no human being's reaction time, even a highly trained professional athlete can get one of those coming back at him. That's what I think about, not just the arm injury.
And when the depth is already a problem in this current state, why do you want to take that risk? And did you set yourself up well enough? Because I'd rather see Liam Hendricks at least on a mound in a situation that doesn't serve anybody than I would your main Mercedes, but maybe you shouldn't have used Liam Hendricks twice when you didn't have to into 7-inning games the day before.
How many pitchers are they carrying? 13? I mean,
enough to where this should not be an issue.
Right. I understand the reasoning behind wanting to limit your pitchers going into another series. You're already getting clobbered. I know the logic of doing it in a blowout, but at this point in the season with your mean Mercedes, really? That guy? Your cult hero? Your superstar? Your mascot? I don't know.
Your current most successful hitter on the team?
I guess that's right. You know,
currently. Do we expect it to stay this way? Probably not. But currently, You want that guy out there, huh?
I don't know. You asked the question earlier, the rhetorical question. You know, you with all the distaste for Ricky Renteria's pitching mismanagement, that you got rid of him for this. And I know you didn't. It's just another reminder that you didn't, that you got rid of Ricky Renteria to replace him with somebody more like, I don't know, A.J. Hinch or somebody like that, who looks at things a little bit differently, that you didn't fire Ricky Renteria to hire Tony La Russa, and it just reminds us of how that hire got hijacked by the owner.
You didn't hire Ricky Renteria to hire Tony La Russa to still be talking about the same results on the field. Not when it comes to that personnel management.
Right.
Tony La Russa for his pedigree, for his experience. I will respect that because people I respect it.
We talked about something yesterday regarding the Bears, and I'm not talking about what you were doing starting the show either. Troublemaker, bad person.
It's too good.
I threw out an idea regarding how we rate the Bears draft. Well, someone has actually done some of the heavy lifting, and we're going to get to it on tomorrow's show. I just want to preview some of what we have next. Lawrence Holmes will come up after that, and I know he's got David Ross at the top of the hour, so we look forward to talking to him on the score.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.